podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 8 through 20 of Luke, chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for that beautiful night, the night upon which our Savior was born, the night when angels bent down to earth and spoke to shepherds, night, Lord, when heaven bowed down to earth and the Prince of Heaven was born as a child. Lord, we thank you for that beautiful night, that night upon which you visited us, a night upon which you began to prepare your Son to be our sacrifice, our Savior. Father, help us to understand this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible contains over 700 references to sheep and shepherds because it was written to an agrarian society. You know, this was the thing that every day was made of for people who the Bible was written to originally. They knew about livestock. There's a problem, though. I grew up in central New Jersey, and I know next to nothing about livestock, right? I used to go to the petting zoo when I was a kid, and I was deathly afraid that one of those goats was going to batter me over, you know? I kind of kept my distance. I might hold out some feed to them, but as soon as I felt that wet tongue, my hand was back in my pocket. I didn't want to be anywhere near them. Now, I know that we have some folks here in our church who work with livestock. You understand a lot more than I do. In fact, I think Lene Bowman could probably get up here and give us a dissertation on sheep and goats today. So I'm not going to act as if I know everything about this. However, I wanted to ask the question, why shepherds? Why sheep? Why does that appear in the birth of the Savior of mankind? Why is that important? Why do angels come and speak to shepherds? What's going on there? And there's more than meets the eye. One of the first things that we recognize when we read about the shepherds and sheep around the birth of Christ is this: they are not any old sheep. All right, these are Bethlehem sheep. And what makes these sheep special is that they're not just raised for wool or for the table. These sheep are raised for the temple. First of all, Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem, within walking distance, about half an hour. And in the northeastern hills of Bethlehem, where the sheep were raised, the sheep were being raised in particular for the Passover. Because once a year, Jews would come from all over the known world to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Passover. It was a reminder of how God had rescued the people of Israel from Egypt out of slavery across the Red Sea, and God had told them that they needed to practice this Passover. And so here's a typical shepherd in the hills of Bethlehem with these special sheep that were being raised for the slaughter, for the sacrifice, for the Passover. It was a feast observed every year as a reminder of God's salvation. What we know about these lambs is, first of all, that they were sacrificial. Well, look at this from Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse 3, this verse. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, that's the first month of the Hebrew calendar, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are, because you need enough to feed everybody. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. See, the picture was this. Look, this is our last meal before we hit the road. This is the last meal before God saves us from slavery here in Egypt. And this is an important meal because the angel of death is passing over. And as the angel of death passes over, we take the blood of this special lamb and we put it on the doorposts so that our firstborn will be saved from what's to take place in Egypt. And so every year, they practiced the Passover. At least they were supposed to. So at twilight, on the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar, sheep were sacrificed. These Bethlehem sheep were sacrificial sheep. Their blood was smeared on the doorpost. The lamb was cooked over a fire, as you saw in that passage, with the head and the legs still on the sheep, not diced up and boiled in water. You know, if you go to the grocery store today and you buy lamb, you have no idea, you know, that was actually an animal, a lamb. The people who ate the lamb at the Passover meal knew that that was a lamb because there was visual recognition. The head still on it. Now, I know some people get creeped out by that today, you know. Someone brings you a fish and the head and the tail still on there. You're like, No. You know, you need to take this thing, you need to process it, dice it up, you know, do whatever. You know, we go and we eat a hamburger at McDonald's. We don't even know where that came from. It doesn't occur to us as we take the chicken nugget that, you know, maybe a minuscule part of that chicken nugget actually came from a live chicken, you know, with feathers and all. Because we're so used to it being processed and changed before our eyes, and it was very important to the Lord that when the family ate the Passover meal, that they recognized that lamb. That was the Passover lamb. It was a sacrificial lamb. It was eaten completely because the people understood that the life of that lamb was their life, that lamb was their sacrifice. The lambs of Bethlehem were sacrificial, and they had to be spotless. See, these were specialized shepherds because they had to raise sheep for 1 year, one-year-old sheep that were unblemished, spotless sheep with no defects. They understood the importance of these sheep and where they were going. See, if you came from somewhere in the world and you came to Jerusalem and you went to purchase a sheep from a shepherd, most likely that sheep came from Bethlehem. And as you purchased that sheep, you looked for the best specimen that you could possibly find. So the shepherds knew that these had to be quality sheep. Sheep and goats, by the way, you could choose one or the other. And I personally would like to take a lamb for dinner rather than the goat for dinner. I don't know if I could even tell the difference, to be honest, but It just seems better to me. But some families chose the goat. Maybe it was a financial consideration. I don't know. But Leonard Sweet tells us that at the birth of some of these lambs, the lambs, in order to protect them from bruising, from thrashing around, from hurting themselves or one another, some of them would be wrapped in cloth and laid in a feeding trough in order that they wouldn't hurt themselves, injure themselves, in order that there would be no defect in those lambs, so they would be unbruised. Not only are they sacrificial and spotless, but these are special lambs. Special lambs in this. You know, the 10th day of the month, the lamb was brought into the household, we read. The 14th day of the month, the lamb was slaughtered. So you've got 5 days there, if you count the 10th and the 14th, you have 5 days there, in which that lamb lives with that family. And the people of that family get to know that beautiful, year-old, spotless lamb. They get to understand that lamb's personality, its quirks. It becomes a pet in their home. And then after those 5 days, after they've just had enough time to get to know the lamb and fall in love with the lamb was slaughtered. And they understood that sacrifice, that this was a special lamb for them. The tradition was this: the rabbi, before slaughtering the lamb, would ask the people in the family, "Do you love this lamb? Do you love this lamb?" And at times, the children in the family would have tears streaming down their faces because they knew what was coming. And the lamb was put to death. Sacrificial, spotless, and special. Those are the sheep around the hills of Bethlehem. Now let's talk about those shepherds. What about the shepherds of Bethlehem? See, these shepherds were specialists, and they had many tricks, such as the manger trick and the swaddling clothes trick, in order to make sure that these lambs were perfect. And one of their tricks was this. See, oftentimes a mother lamb would die as it was giving birth to a baby. And sometimes the baby would die and the mother lamb would live. So shepherds were, they had this quandary. They had mother sheep that had lost the lamb that were still producing milk. And then they had baby sheep that no longer had a mother because the mother had passed away. So they had orphaned sheep and they had mother sheep, and they had to do something about this. So they learned how to deal with that problem. And the lambs, the shepherds in Bethlehem were known for taking a dead lamb and slitting its throat and pouring its blood over a living lamb in order that that orphaned lamb might be accepted by the mother of the dead lamb, in order that it might be recognized as a member of the family, and that the mother would then, the ewe would then allow the baby to nurse from her because she recognized the blood. What a beautiful picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. These shepherds knew all of the tricks. They also knew that they lived in a profession that once produced a king. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, we have this great story about the prophet Samuel. And the Lord says to him, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, the king, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king." And then we skip down to verse 10. After Jesse has seen all of the sons, or after Samuel has seen all the sons of Jesse, the seven of his sons passed before Samuel. Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Where'd this take place? Well, it took place in Bethlehem, where David grew up. Where did he raise sheep? Well, in those same hills around Bethlehem where the shepherds who received the announcement from angels also served. And so those shepherds from Bethlehem understood that they were in a profession that once produced a king. Interestingly enough, when we come to Scripture, we're not just told about the sheep and the shepherds, but also then our Savior, Jesus Christ, is identified with the sheep. Jesus, according to Scripture, is a sheep. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is very much like the sheep of Bethlehem. And it's appropriate that angels would visit shepherds and that shepherds would then visit Jesus at his birth because Jesus is a sheep. First of all, just like the sheep of Bethlehem, Jesus is a sacrificial lamb. In John chapter 1, verse 26, we read about John the Baptist as he saw Jesus approaching him. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God," a new name for the Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, connecting him with the Passover lamb, connecting him with the sacrifice. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, "Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." So the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as our Passover lamb. He is one and the same with all of those lambs that were raised in Bethlehem for the slaughter. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He came to give his life that we might have life. His blood has been applied to the doorposts of our lives that we might have protection from death by sin, from the everlasting death, we might have everlasting life. But Jesus is also spotless, according to Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, this passage of Scripture describes Jesus as holy, blameless, pure, and set apart, that he is exalted above the heavens. This picture of Jesus is that he is like one of those Passover lambs in the hills of Bethlehem, raised specifically and perfectly a specimen to be our Passover lamb. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" It is the blood of our Savior, our Passover lamb, the unblemished, spotless, holy Lamb of God, our sinless Savior, that cleanses us from our sin. And just like the sheep of Bethlehem, Jesus, the sheep, was sacrificial, spotless, and special as well. You know, sometimes we come across passages of Scripture and we ask the question, what's going on here? What's going on here? There are two times in Scripture where God the Father expresses love for his Son. One of those times was at the baptism of Jesus. And at the baptism of Jesus, as he was going under the water and as he came out of the water, we read those words, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then again at the transfiguration, Jesus was on the mountaintop, and Moses and Elijah are there with Jesus, and some of the disciples had the opportunity to experience this moment in the clouds. And again, the voice of God came out of the clouds saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Kind of reminds you of the rabbi standing over the lamb and saying, "Do you love this lamb?" to the family. And God says from the heavens, "I love this lamb. I love my Son. He is perfect. He is fit to be your sacrifice." And then we're told that Jesus spent some time with the Apostle Peter after he had been raised from the dead. And in order to rehabilitate Peter, Jesus sat down with him. And Peter had betrayed the Lord three times, had denied that he even knew him. But here Jesus sat down, now alive, with Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" And three times Peter answered the question, "Yes, of course I love you." And perhaps we can say that the Lord was offering himself as the spotless lamb, the Passover lamb, to Peter. We need to ask the same question this morning. Is the Lord Jesus Christ special to us? Do we love Him? He gave His life for us. Many times in Scripture, we say that in order to receive eternal life and the benefits of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we must put our faith in Him. We must believe in His name. But you know that also in Scripture, there's another word that's used synonymously with believe and faith and trust. These are all decisions we must make in order to receive salvation from the Lord. The other word that's used synonymously with believe and trust and faith is love. That we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. What's interesting is Jesus is not only the sheep, but He's also the shepherd. It gets kind of confusing here because we're mixing metaphors, but Scripture does it and tells us this, in that He is not just sheep, but the shepherd. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Both the Lamb and the shepherd, Jesus is, according to the book of Revelation. Jesus talked about this as He was walking the face of this earth and teaching His disciples. He gave Himself a name, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. In fact, John chapter 10, verse 11 is where we find this. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And we've got the stories about David in the Old Testament where the sheep were being threatened by wolves or coyotes or bears or whatever might threaten the sheep, and that David took matters into his own hand and risked his own life in order to save those sheep. And then Jesus says, look, I am like that shepherd, the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. And He also said, I'm the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And He talked often about the sheep being able to know His voice and to discriminate who He was. Margaret Feinberg has written a book called Scouting the Divine. What she did, she recognized that there were so many passages in Scripture about things like sheep and shepherds and vines and winemakers and honey and beekeeping and all of these sorts of things that she didn't know a whole lot about, that she decided to spend some time with people who lived in these professions. You can read Margaret Feinberg's book, Scouting the Divine. It's very interesting as she sits down with Scripture and asks a shepherdess, what does this verse mean to you? Asks somebody who makes wine, what do these verses about the vine and the branch, what do these mean to you? One of the stories that Margaret Feinberg tells is of a Bethlehem shepherdess. Years and years ago, as Israel was being attacked by someone from outside, the soldiers came in and they took all of the sheep and they brought them together into one huge pen, getting ready to transport them out, getting ready to take the wealth of Bethlehem. There was a woman, a shepherdess, who was upset by this. And she came and she began to argue with these soldiers and said, I want my sheep back and I want them back now. And the soldiers laughed at her because they looked behind them and here's this pen filled with thousands of sheep. She said, how are you going to be able to pick out your sheep? How will you know your sheep out of all of these sheep? How will you know? And Margaret Feinberg tells the story that the woman said, oh, they'll follow me. They'll follow me. So the soldier said, oh yeah, well prove it. Prove it. She sent her son in the midst of those sheep. And the son took a flute out of his pocket and started to play a tune. And then started to walk away from the sheep. Just the right number of sheep followed her son out of that huge pen. And the soldiers clapped their hands and said, you're the last one who's going to be able to use this trick. But this woman knew. She knew that her sheep would recognize the sound of home. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Do you recognize the sound of home? Talk about home, talk about heaven. When you hear the voice of God, when you hear His Word, when you recognize that He's speaking to you, do you recognize that voice? That's why it is so important that we spend time with Him in His Word, in prayer, that we might know Him completely, that we might understand and recognize His voice. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But you know, He's also the Great Shepherd. Totally different word. It's a little bit amplified, but in Hebrews chapter 13, we read these words, starting with verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Once a lamb and now a shepherd, guiding and leading and feeding us and equipping us every single day of our lives, offering us guidance for our lives if we will follow Him. And we can go all the way back to Psalm 23, a psalm that David, the shepherd boy who became a king, wrote about the Lord is my shepherd, and how He feeds me and He nourishes me and He leads me. And this is the picture of Jesus for our day. He is the great shepherd who guides us and leads us and teaches us and equips us and feeds us every day of our lives. Then finally, Jesus is also called the chief shepherd. There's a reason for this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, Peter is writing to the leaders of a church. And he tells them, you need to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Peter says, look, some of you are shepherds over the flock. There's the chief shepherd, Jesus, but He's given you administration, authority, the ability to lead the flock. And He says, look, you need to do it the way Jesus would do it. Gently, lovingly, not lording it over, not abusing or taking advantage of the flock, but being like Jesus, gently caring for the sheep, willing to give your life for the sheep. That is our Savior Jesus. He's not just the Lamb of God who takes away our sin through His sacrifice. He's also the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Like the historic shepherds and sheep of Bethlehem. It kind of takes on new meaning now when you read the story here in Luke chapter 2 of the shepherds outside in the hills of Bethlehem watching these sheep that had been set apart for the Passover. Now suddenly the angels appear and say, shepherds, there's another lamb who's being born. Another lamb who's being wrapped in swaddling clothes. Another lamb who's being laid in a manger. Another spotless, unblemished sheep that is being prepared for the slaughter. Another lamb whose blood will be shed in order to save the people. There's another lamb. His name is Jesus, and He's the Savior of all mankind. And the shepherds went to see Him, and there He was. They proclaimed all this to Mary, and Mary, it says, pondered these things in her heart. Ask the question, what on earth is going on here? Who are these shepherds that say that they saw angels? What does all of this mean? Maybe it helps us to understand a little bit better this morning if we understand who Jesus is. He is our Lamb, our sacrificial Lamb that takes away our sin. We've seen evil in the world this past week. We can't deny that there is sin in this world. It's interesting how the news media tries to explain it away using many different means. Mental illness and guns and all sorts of different excuses. But there's one word that I have not heard from the media. Sin. Where is that word? Why is it missing? Why are we afraid of that word? Sin. Because that's what it is. We are sinful people raising sinful children in a sinful world. And evil exists. And it will continue to exist until the time when our Savior Jesus Christ returns, the chief shepherd, to receive us to himself. In the meantime, what is our job? It's to love one another. To love our God and to follow him and do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. To be washed in the blood of the Lamb that our sin problem might be cleansed. And then to offer that same hope to the people of this world. Look, do you see that sin that took place there? There is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. If you will put your faith in him. If only the right person at the right time with the message of Jesus Christ had entered that family's life and told them about Jesus, perhaps this never would have happened. In many ways, we are like the sheep of Bethlehem. We are weak. We are at times lost. But we have a Savior who is a great shepherd, who's willing to lead us. We'll just give our lives to him. Just give our lives to him. We praise God for his Son, Jesus Christ, especially at this time of the year, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, O God, that you recognize that we were lost, sheep without a shepherd, wandering, sinful and evil. So you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world that he might fix that. Lord, thank you for the Lamb of God who went to the cross and gave his life there. Today, Lord, we say, I love him. I love him with all that I am. I trust in him and believe that he indeed is my Savior from sin. But Father, help us, Lord, to follow our shepherd. Father, each and every day to hear his voice, to move away from this world and to move closer to him. Father, that we ourselves might be shepherds to a lost culture around us, following our chief shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for the rich culture in which the Bible has been birthed. Father, help us to understand and apply it to our lives today, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.